So let's see. Life has been going on. Life exists. We've been
Yeah,
existing.
I got my second shot 2 weeks
Nice.
away from being free.
Well, so that's where it gets kind of weird of like, we'll be free, but like, it sort of
But
feels
like
like a weird, like, in my mind, I envision it like a post-apocalyptic wasteland, which it's not, but
it's
like,
like we're like the vault dwellers from Fallout. Like the vault is opening and we can explore the world again and we get to see all the irradiated scavengers that have been out there this entire time.
it's like, do we need to leave the vault? Is the vault just fine? I guess like it'll be cool to go outside and do stuff and everything, but it is just this sort of.
Like so the twofold for me there's two things that I'm thinking about going forward here. One is like I'm excited to do things with friends again. Like I'm excited to see people. I said yes to a possible 4th of July like trip where we're like there's gonna be like 8 or 10 of us and we're gonna rent a house and we're all gonna be vaccinated and it'll be like a nice little weekend retreat where I get to hang out with friends, you know, and like I'm excited for that sort of thing again. But the thing that I'm hoping sort of lasts past this pandemic and is a regular thing that happens with my friends and people in general is like the inclusion of online and like long distance activities hanging out with friends. Like we all sort of fell into that like arena where we had to do stuff online with people if we wanted to have any sort of social contact. And like I enjoy doing things online. I enjoy having people watch my stream and have a bunch of people play Jackbox together or having a movie night where we're all at home, we're cuddled on our own couches watching a movie together and commenting on it if it's bad or if it's good or not, you know, and playing Valorant with people or just chatting or hanging out and playing Civ and that sort of thing. And like, I'm hoping that there's a balance, you know, like we don't go like overcorrect the other way and everyone just always wants to go to a bar or go out or go do things outside or whatever once we have the freedom to. Like, I hope, like, because I am an indoor cat, I am an introvert. I like the space that was created, like if there wasn't a pandemic going on, like the space that was created for like how people socialized was like really up my alley. But like the stress of everything else was making it a lot less fun. But like so I just hope the world in general and like friends and everything keep that sort of social activity in mind as a possibility of ways to interact as opposed to like always having to go to a bar or like a brewery or winery or whatever just to see my friends sort of thing.
Yeah, I think I'm at the, like, you mentioned the whole, like, renting a house sort of thing, and I'm like, Harvey's isn't ready for that level of commitment yet, where I'm just like, I'd like to go to the movies, but I'm still like, I haven't done that. It's anxiety provoking right now, but like, go to the movies with friends. I have to find my new comfort zone, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like this July 4th trip is like probably going to be the first big thing I do. And you know, it's so like that's going to be a month and a half after I'm fully vaccinated. So like my first thing might just be going to see a movie. Like Spiral, which is the Chris Rock reboot of the Saw franchise. Like that comes out 2 days after I'm able to like go out in public and not feel like there's the sword of Damocles hanging over me.
Do you want to see that together?
Yeah, like if we want to do that, like if you're up for that, like we don't have to see it like right away 'cause I don't know if like 2 days after vaccination if I'm going to be ready to just immediately jump back into the social pool. But, like, that's only going to be in theaters, and I've been wanting to see that since last – whenever it was announced. But, like, yeah, if you want to do that as, like, the first toe-dipping into regular social life again, I would be down for that.
Yeah, I think that's the way I need to start as well, as, like with my friends trying to, like, increase my comfort level, if you will, because, like – So I'll say, like, Harvey Z is single, and Harvey Z was asked out on a date, and Harvey Z blew it. So I was asked out on a date in like the most obvious, in retrospect, way, where they were like, oh, have you seen the new Mortal Kombat movie? And we had, like, matched on, like, one of those dating app things, and then they were, and we were talking and stuff, and then that was it, because I didn't ask them out or anything, but we were just chatting and stuff, and then they were like, so have you seen the new Mortal Kombat movie? And I was like, no, I haven't. I really want to see it. And they were like, me too. And then it was silent for a while. And I was like, do they want me to ask them out, or, like, what is this? Like,
I mean, you're on a dating site. That is sort of
I'm how on a that dating works. Site. I'm, and it was, like, looking at it in retrospect, like, they basically said, like, I want to see it too. And it was like, I didn't say anything. And then they were finally like, do you want to see Mortal Kombat together? And Harvey Z, being the smooth person, was like, oh yeah, we should totally do that. Your place or mine? And they were like, goodbye. And I was just like, I didn't even think about, like, movie theaters and such, because I was just like, I guess it's on HBO, so do you have it? I don't have HBO, but, and it just didn't strike me that
Yeah, it didn't occur to you about, like, going to see it in a theater, because, like, our brain has been wired to just not consider outside options for so long.
And I was like, wow, this is incredibly forward to ask me out to a movie. Like, whoa, okay. Fine.
Like, I don't blame Harvey Z entirely on the missed signals on that one. That is a little bit of like you're right in saying that, like, probably hanging out with friends is probably a good or better first step than going out on dates. Like, I know, like, being single is not the best thing in the world for some people, and, like, there's the willingness to get into the dating pool, but, like, coming off a pandemic, there's going to be a lot of single people who are really ready to, like, see people in person, if you know what I mean.
And Harvey Z apparently is not that person. Thought I was? Not so much. I'm okay with it, but it was just looking back on it, it was like, okay, we could have done better, but we misread a lot of signals all the way through, and then we went from extremes of, like, not asking someone out to, like, your place. Okay.
You got a little too forward.
Yeah. The misadventures.
It's good to get back to a relative normal, though. I'm ready for it.
It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da.
This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, Atma, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
And welcome to Loveline. Today we're going to be answering all your questions about online dating and... Oh, never mind.
Oh, yeah. Our panel of experts here.
Yeah, panel of experts. I got some... Okay, I don't have a lot of stories from the online dating portion of my life. I do have a couple. I never really went on any, like, awkwardly weird dates. You know, like, the ones that, like, were like, what the fuck am I doing on this date?
Uh-huh.
I never had any, like, really, really bad experiences. The funniest one, though, or not funniest, I guess, but in sense of, like, the one that makes the best story. No, I guess it's not even a best story. It's just, like, the day before I met my current girlfriend.
Oh, uh-huh.
I went on another date with... It was like I met her for like a coffee in the morning. It was like a breakfasty type coffee date, and I found out through conversation, that conversation on that date, that she was voting for Trump.
Nice.
And she had literally just broken up with her, like, a boyfriend of, like, a long-term relationship, like, within the last, like, month or two. And most of that date was her shitting on her ex, which, like, I get it. Every person who goes through a breakup of a long-term relationship has to have that first date where they just shit the bed and, like, because they're wailing on their ex the entire time. And I was happy to be that person for that particular girl. And, you know, I hope she's happy now. But between the voting for Trump thing, because, like, and it wasn't even like a, she was a Republican person. It was like a for the lulz sort of attitude as to why she was probably going to vote for Trump. You know, so it just wasn't my scene at all. And then the next day I went on a date with my current girlfriend, and, like, it was night and day because, you know, we got along and it was great and everything. So I never even thought about a second date with that girl. yeah. Anyway.
A happy story. I'm trying to think of, like, I like to share and that, like, Harvey Z's misadventures and stuff. I'll give you just one, which is the, you know this one, but I'll, for the viewers out there, I suppose, like, Harvey Z in college went on a few random dates. This is, I didn't do a lot of them, though, because of probably this one, which was the most horrifying of, like, my blind dates and so, which is, there was a person, mutual, like, I had a crush on them and such, and I asked them out. They said, sure, let's go see a play. I was like, cool, we're both in college, let's go see a play. What's out there? Something lighthearted and fun. And we went to see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, yeah. I think you've told me about this.
And I don't know if you know about that play or anything about it in that sense, but it is not a good play for a first date or just in general to, like, start a budding relationship, as it is about a horribly dysfunctional couple and, like, the fights that they have constantly with their bitter and frustrated relationship. And we just both walked out, like, our hairs blow back, and, like, I was just like, all right, like, I mean, it was a play. It was about relationships in a way. And we just kind of, like, sat, like, all right, like, we've been through something. The two of us who just met, like, hours before. And then I was like, to you, like, we didn't even know what to say for a while. We just, like, hung out on campus, like, with just, like, wow, that was something, that play. I think that the play itself, like, I'm looking at it now, completely went over our heads, like, the concepts and stuff that were presented in it. We were just, like, apparently it's about, like, this imaginary thing and this whole cycle. It was a fucked up play to watch on, like, when both of our minds were, like, or, well, my mind was on, like, first dates and stuff. And then I was like, well, it was sort of nice, like, to do this. Do you want to do this again, or do you want to go out again? And they were like, I have a boyfriend. And I was like, good to know. Good to know at the end. All right. You just really wanted to see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? All right, fine, whatever. We're just, you have a boyfriend. Let's walk away from this one. Have a nice day. Yeah. Good night.
Good times. The thing I remember the most about college was freshman year, when it was right before Valentine's Day, and I may not have told this story before, but I'm pretty sure I've told you the story. But, like, I think it was Generic Johnson, it was like a friend of his from, like, a class or something came by our hall and was, like, hanging out for a little bit. And I met this girl, and that was it. And then, like, it was just, like, for, like, an evening for, like, an hour or something. And it was nice to meet her, blah, blah, blah. But nothing went through my mind. And then, like, a couple days later on Valentine's Day, I found, like, a thing pinned to my door from her. And I was like, oh, that's nice of her. How sweet of this person that I just met to, like, give me a Valentine on Valentine's Day. And then absolutely nothing. Like, my brain did not put the two and two together, especially because I don't think she put anything on Generic Johnson's door, which was what was like, wow, that was nice of her to someone she just met to put a Valentine and not even the person that she's like in classes with. Huh, that's neat. And then just flush. And like occasionally I think about that and go, oh, yeah, okay, that might have been a sign. That's how oblivious I was.
Yeah, yeah, that fair enough. I mean, we were all babies back then.
Yeah.
Just stupid babies.
Okay, so we have got the final 16 of the Harvey Z Madness bracket to go through today.
Nice. The final madness?
The final madness. We're going to do the final 16, and then we're going to do the final four. It's going to end today, and this is going to be it. This was supposed to be April Madness, and I think three out of the four episodes that this is on are going to air in May. Man.
This might close out the month.
Yeah, this is very, very well done on my part. Just absolute wonderful timing. But whatever. So I had an idea for this one that I was going to do. And then I backpedaled on it because I thought it might actually be a better theme for our 100th episode. So the original bracket is it going to be saved for our 100th episode, because I think it'll be a bit better for that. So this is sort of a runner-up bracket that I came up with. It is going to be Harvey Z's Smash Brothers characters.
Ooh, okay. This seems pretty easy. I only have, like, a few, but I probably have more.
I mean,
I have opinions on them.
Yeah, so, like, I got pretty much all the ones that are your regulars that you play. Mm-hmm. And I sort of tried to rank them by, like, how often you play them. But this is you ranking them in general. So, like, you don't have to rank them just based on Smash Brother feeling or whatever. This is your bracket. You can rank them however you want.
And play some arbitrary characters just because I enjoy it. That doesn't mean they're the best character to play. I just like some of them more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're going with here.
Okay.
All right. You ready to get to this?
I think so. I think I know my number one, but we'll see what the rest are.
Yeah. All right. So first matchup we've got is the number one seed, Sheik.
Uh-huh.
Versus the 16th seed, Jigglypuff.
Ooh, okay. And actually, I enjoy this matchup in general. We've played this matchup many a times. You as Jigglypuff, myself as Sheik. And this goes back to our first, what was the first edition of Smash that we played together?
Melee, I think. I think we played Melee in college.
Yeah, this is the one where, so pre-college and pre-Smash, I didn't know who Sheik was. I knew who Jigglypuff was, but I, not playing Zelda games, had no idea what or who a Sheik was. But I really liked playing this character because of our mutual friend, Satan. Satan liked to play, I believe, I don't know if it was Roy or Marth or those types of characters, the sword guys, and would edgehog like a motherfucker, where he would walk over to the edge and just constantly swing the sword to prevent you from getting back on the map. And it was the cheapest thing to do. And he was really, really good when we didn't know how to play Smash. And I was like, what character will counter this? And so I exclusively just began playing with Sheik and training myself and being the only one who was really willing to play with him one-on-one, because he was really cheesing otherwise. And then I got really, really good at one-on-one matchups with Sheik, just because I had to, if you got knocked off the edge, you were going to die. He edgehogged you to death, basically. And so because of that, I had to get really good at dodging, and I wasn't good at multiplayer, but one-on-one, I became incredible with Sheik. And I still love to this day, I haven't played Smash as much, but that is my overall favorite character and the one who will get the nod versus Jigglypuff. Just has that one, I won't even get into all this stuff just because it's not PC how we used to play Smash. And we were stupid babies who made lots of inappropriate references with this game. Yeah. So we'll just leave it at that. You can think of names of moves, things, whatever you want to call it, just stupid college jokes.
Yeah.
I'd like to think we're better than that now.
Yeah, I like to think so too. I do think about that a lot, but yeah, you know, everyone is 18 and a shithead at some point in their lives. So a lot of times they coincide. Sometimes the shithead is not just when you're 18. You grow, you learn. Okay. Next matchup, we've got 8th seed Greninja.
Okay.
Versus 9th seed Little Mac.
Interesting matchup here. I dislike Greninja. I play Greninja, but I dislike Greninja on like a personal level. I play them only because I hate being played against or like having to deal with Greninja because of one particular move where he like turns into a fucking log. Like you hit him and it's a counter and he drops like a log and then he pops up or something behind you and you're stunned. I had it done too many times to me as Sheik, and so then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to be this guy now so I can log other people. And that's the only reason I play with him. I don't like him in Pokemon, never played him in the other games, don't know his other stuff, just I turn him to a log repeatedly. And that's like a one-trick pony for me with Greninja, is pure spite. And then Little Mac, however, is also a one-trick pony, but in the opposite, which his final move brings me such joy. Like, where he just, like, flies across the screen and it's like a one-hit KO kind of thing. And I just love doing that to people far more. And Little Mac, I mean, I used to read the Punch-Out comics as a kid. I didn't play Punch-Out, but I read the comic books, which is a weird thing to... I don't think anybody knows the Super Mario, like... It was actually, like, in the big book of Super Mario, like, Brothers Games or something, where there was, like, different stories of, like... That's how I knew about Link and stuff. He was in the comics. He was in, like, with the Mario Brothers comics, and Little Mac was in there. I'm going to choose Little Mac to get the win, though. This is a dumb matchup.
Little Mac moves on. All right. Next up, this is another fun matchup. We've got 5th seed Luigi.
Blue Luigi.
Yeah. Versus 12th seed Solid Snake.
Ooh. Ah, this is a tougher match. I like both of these guys quite a bit. Blue Luigi, I think I've told the story on here, which is to say, you're really, really good with Luigi. This might be one of your like top three characters. And I think Generic Johnson got quite good with Luigi as well.
Yeah.
And so then I, being Harvey Z, was like, I don't want to be left out. I'm also going to become great with Luigi. And you guys were just like, you wouldn't let me. And you assumed like I was a poser. And I happened to like the color blue, so I became Blueigi. And
every time Blueigi showed up in a match, it was our mission to make sure Luigi lost. We were already the good Luigis. We would not allow you to win.
Because I did move spam. I just kept spamming one move, as is my usual. Like his annoying like wiggly fly across the screen thing. That's all I did with Blueigi. And so again, these two set out to set a lesson on me, and like I would be the first one dead always with Luigi. I think at one point Luigi has won a match by like pure luck. I think
Luigi has one victory,
but it's like that is it.
Yeah.
Even now, if I pick Luigi, they're not as bad about it, but they still hunt me down and kill me.
It's a triggered response at this point. You know, it's like my muscles take over. It's not even a conscious choice. It's just I see Luigi, I attack.
Yeah,
like, it's like the red for the bull. You know,
the little blue guy, and they don't even have to be Luigi's now. They just chase him down and kill him.
Yep.
But yeah, Luigi has won less than like 5 matches easily. So that's Luigi's tale. And now, Snake, Solid Snake, I just enjoyed this character just because it was so weird back when he first came out. Like, he hid in a box. He had, like, he was a realistic guy with, like, guns. And, like, he has a move that basically, like, he puts people into sleeper holes and just chokes them out. Like, all of this screams, like, Harvey Z loves this character. I just want to put Pikachu in a little hold and, like, put him to sleep. And then, like, why not? So, actually, though... I'll pick. This is a little bit of an upset if I was playing. I'm probably stronger with the other, but out of sheer joy and enjoyment, Snake moves on.
Okay. All right.
Luigi doesn't get the win even in this bracket.
Even in this matchup, Luigi gets smacked down. Okay. So this next matchup, I'm not going to say it wasn't intentional, but it just ended up this way as I was ranking them. And I could not have this matchup. It's fourth seed Link versus 13th seed Donkey Kong.
I was wondering. So Link was the first character on original Smash that I loved to play and I enjoyed. Donkey Kong was fun because of his suicide attack, which he just grabs somebody and you walk off the edge with them. It's such a dick move. And Generic Johnson got incredibly good with, I believe, Donkey Kong. I believe just despite Don Rocco, of all people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you remember that part, but he would always play as like a little version of Link or something, like Baby Link.
The Toon Link, yeah.
And
or Young Link. I don't remember which one it was in Melee.
I think it was Young Link, and like Generic Johnson was like right next door and they would play each other all the time, but like he would constantly play as Donkey Kong just to like mess with him in some way. And for me, though, I have a habit as well, and this is actually recorded in the sense of like you've filmed and it's on like your YouTube channel, like matches of me playing as Young Link, or not Young Link, regular Link versus various beasts. But Donkey Kong is the original, and every time I would win, I had to, in classic Harvey Z style, go, beast slain, and like do a taunt. And that hubris, though, has led to many a demise for me. Like this,
the
is
Beast Slayer is probably, like, of Harvey Z personas, the Beast Slayer is probably up there as, like, top three for me, just for, like, the
it is
the
probably...
has to...
It is the most Harvey Z of the Harvey Z personas. Like, who is Harvey Z in Smash? He is the Beast Slayer. And if you want to see what that looks like, I still love the video. It's hilarious, the endings of it in your YouTube channel.
I think my favorite, like, just to give an example, there's a point in the video where he taunts, but he threw a bomb in the air and the bomb comes back down and blows him off while he's taunting, which allows me to come in and kill him. And it's just like the perfect ending to a fight.
Because it's just me. I taunt only as I hit you off the map or something and I go beast slain and do the classic beast slayer pose. And then I forgot literally there was a bomb. I believe the bomb actually is what just kills me. And you just happen not to be like falling off the map yet. And so you get the win, and it's just denied so, so hard. Like, that's why I'm going to give this one the Beast Slayer wins.
Yeah.
Link will move on.
I figured.
Yeah.
Okay. Next matchup. These two aren't either of your regular characters, but you have like an appreciation for them outside the game, I think, a little bit. We've got 6th seed Sonic versus 11th seed Ike.
Ooh, Ike is the Fire Emblem person, and Sonic is, I mean, I was a Genesis guy. Like, this is my Mario of all sorts in a way. And when he came to Smash, I picked him up quickly, and I enjoy Sonic. Not great at him in Smash, but I'm going to just quickly, because it is Sonic, I'm going to give him the nod. I enjoyed that one Fire Emblem game, but I wasn't like a huge, oh man, I love Fire Emblem. It's the best. Well, I will say though, I mean, there's the Three Kingdoms, but that's not the same, I feel like, as the Ike world itself.
Yeah, the Ike's the Path of Radiance games are a much different beast than Three Houses.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Sonic, where Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Sonic & Knuckles, even Sonic Spinball, I've loved all of those games.
Gotcha. All right. Okay. Next up, we've got 3rd seed, Senator Dorf.
Yes.
Versus 14th seed, Pichu.
Ooh, okay. Pichu I used to love until I realized, like, his electricity hurts him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that for, like, 50% of the time I was playing as Pichu. I just thought I was, like, getting beat up by you guys. No, it was actually just hurting myself. Like, once that happened, I stopped, like, playing Pichu as much, and I switched over to, like, Pikachu. But, like, I used to play with... Because, again, getting your ass kicked by Pichu, it's just that extra level of insult that screams Harvey Z. Like, that's what I need to do. But Ah, Senator Ganondorf. So this is Ganondorf, but with the specific skin of where he has white hair. And I really like slow, unwieldy characters. Like, I like super fast characters, but in fighting games and stuff, there's just something to be said about the power, the Zangiefs of the world, where, like, they have a ridiculous move, and if they hit that one move, you're dead. But otherwise, yep, they're completely useless. I can appreciate that, because I feel like that represents Harvey Z in real life, where I'm not a fighter, I'm not an athlete, and such, but I've got one move, and if I get you, that one move on any given Sunday, any, like, 6 inches, whatever the sports metaphor thing is here, I have a shot. And so the senator specifically, though, came from freshman year of college, where we took the most fucked up weird classes together as a group. I think it was Satan even involved? You were in there. Satan was in there. I was in there. I don't know if Generic Johnson, no, he might have or he might not have, but it was, the class was, I think it was on, like, pseudoscience.
Yeah, the intro to pseudoscience. Which it was our, it was the bullshit, like, we had to take some sort of, like, Englishy, I don't remember what the requirement was, because it was like a writing type class or something. Anyway, we all took pseudoscience because it was the most interesting thing,
yeah,
that I was mean, of the options. Like, all the others were, like, really, really boring shit.
Like, they were actual English courses, and this one was, like, learn about aliens and Sasquatch and Bigfoot and stuff. And it was like, hell yeah, why not? I'm going to a liberal arts college. Let's get this liberal arts education. Teach me about the aliens. But, like, every week our assignment was, we had to write, like, a brief or, like, a, in summary, a, to the senator, like, the senator being this imaginary person, like, but, like, write to your government authority about what you've learned about said, like, cryptid or whatever. And so, like, we would write in it, and, like, I'm used to writing essays. I know how to write essays and such. And so I would submit my essays, and the professor would always give me feedback, though, of, like, I was writing it too high of a level for the senator, and the senator didn't like that. And so he would write things, though, always in the third person. Like, the one that I remember, the senator does not like semicolons. The senator feels these sentences are too hard to read. And I was like, I finally got to fucking college. I had enjoyed high school and stuff, and this was my time to shine. And then, like, I'm submitting essays, and let me, like, show you my knowledge. And then suddenly I get this, like, the senator wants you to dumb it down, basically. And it sort of, like, disenchanted me from, like, the idea of liberal arts slash, like, English majors and stuff. And I was like, but every week I couldn't fucking please the senator. And, like, the senator constantly downgraded me, basically. And I couldn't get a fucking A because the senator didn't, like, I tried writing, like, dumber statements and stuff. And it's still, like, senator always found fault. And so because of this fucking senator, like, that's where, like, Ganondorf being, like, this old guy with, like, the gray hair and everything. And I was just like, this is the senator. And, like, the senator goes around, like, booting people over and over. He's not a good fighter or anything at the time. I didn't really know how to play him. And so I would just be like, fuck you as the senator, and kick people with, like, Ganondorf's kicks and stuff. Eventually, I got really good at him. But, like, back then, it was just pure spite of, like, this fuck you.
A lot of your character choices are just out of pure spite, I've noticed.
I mean, yeah, it's either out of to embarrass you or, like, out of pure spite, like, yeah, embarrassment and rage. That's the fuel for Harvey Z. I'm going to go with the senator because fuck you, Pichu. I can just picture it now. He's just booting him in the face. The senator does not appreciate semicolons. Well, fuck you.
The senator does not appreciate semicolons. Oh, that's a good line. Oh, okay, moving on. We've got 7th seed Fox.
Huh?
Versus 10th seed Incineroar.
Ooh, Incineroar is highly ranked here. I liked him and I don't like him. I like the concept of an Incineroar, a professional wrestling Pokemon that is fire-based, that's weapons are like wrestling moves, screams Harvey Z. He's just really hard for me to play. He's from the newest version of Smash, and I've played him a few times and got my ass kicked just because I just don't know him that well, and I'm not crazy into Smash anymore like we used to be. Probably if I started with this Smash in like college, I would probably love Incineroar, just because, again, the moveset, everything about it screams like awkward big brawly guy with big moves. Sure. Fox is the opposite. He's this quick little character. He's another one of Generic Johnson's lethal characters, as yours as well, with the upkick over and over.
No, I didn't play Fox. I played Falco. You played Fox.
Well, I played Fox only after Generic Johnson again, because Generic Johnson would play Fox, just use lasers like crazy, but his thing was the reflecting shield. Like, he would just reflect shield you to death, and then you started doing it with Falco, and then I was like, once again, spite-wise, I've got to learn how to do this, and I started doing the reflecting shield and Fox as well, and then Generic Johnson would just whip out the upkick. He would get you with the, constantly humiliate you by just... There would be matches where I didn't land a single move on him, and he didn't attack me in any way besides the shield. And so I would just get, I would shield myself to death. And then every so often, if I had like 100% or so, just a random upkick, because again, I was expecting the shield, and then he would just lethal me with an upkick. It was, I strive to be that way with Fox. I tend to be more of a finicky, like, oh, somebody's at high health. I'm going to run up and upkick them. I'll pick Fox though on this one. He beats Incineroar.
Gotcha. Okay. So last matchup, we've got second seed Ice Climbers.
I was waiting for them. I didn't realize. number two is a fair. They are probably my second favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 15th seed Ness.
Oh, God. So I'm noticing you're right. You've completely hit the nail on the head. A lot of my characters are spite based and or embarrassment based. Ness is both of those. Like, it's a specific move. It's getting hit with a fucking baseball bat that I just... Yep. And you're really, really good with Ness. I don't think you play with Ness anymore. You play with Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah, I switched over to Lucas once he came out.
But, like, I hated getting hit with the fucking baseball bat. Because, again, it was precision and timing. You were really good at it. And, like, so once again, if you can't beat him, join him. And so I had to learn Ness just so I could whack people with a baseball bat and, like, try to use his, like, whatever his PK electricity thing was to fly across the map to try to get back. But I wasn't good with Ness. And it was – it's another spike character where I just wanted to feel like – I wanted to feel like you and just, like, whack people with a bat. And, like, the Ice Climbers, on the other hand, fall into the Harvey Z category of, like – you just got your ass beat by, like, two chibi Eskimos. Like, that is a humiliation. No one's going to play with these guys because they're not supposed to be good. I fucking love them, and I love playing the Ice Climbers because of that. It wasn't spite at all, but just the, I'm going to embarrass you with these guys.
And also, like, I feel like Ice Climbers specifically are your character. Like,
yeah.
I don't think anyone else, like, they, we might have, like, played as them as for like, fun or whatever, but I feel like specifically Ice Climbers are, no one else plays them and actually does well with them or, like, tries to play as them.
Like, I took the time to try to get good with these ridiculous characters of, like, the Ice Climbers, and it is tricky. It was also kind of a learning curve in an easy way, because when I wasn't good at Smash, like, there is... the other Ice Climber helps you out because they're automated and, like, will constantly, like, beat up the other characters or move around and stuff. So it was sort of like having training wheels a little bit. Mm. And so, but it just made it, the extra hard part was, like, getting back on the map or making sure you weren't too separated and such. But, like, I really enjoyed the Ice Climbers. I'm going to give them the nod. They're the natural, they're the non, I wonder if all the non-spiteful Harvey Z characters moved on. I haven't been checking now.
I think so. All right, so we're going back to the top.
Okay.
We've got first seed Sheik versus ninth seed Little Mac.
Hmm. Both of these are not spite based, although Sheik was built out of necessity to combat somebody. Sheik wins, unfortunately. Little Mac is a one-trick pony. Sheik is like... So you'll give me credit. Like, if you play that one-on-one map, the flat map, no other obstacles, nothing else, not even weapons, I'm really quite good with Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my best character.
Yeah, I would say Sheik is your best character.
As soon as you put in multiplayer or items and stuff, my skill, like random chance and stuff, it goes out the window. But Sheik one-on-one. Well,
that does that for everyone, though.
I don't know. I feel like I'm worse at Smash when there's multiple people, which is where we get into the whole heated debate of playing for second. Because my argument with Sheik is always, if I can bring it down to a one-on-one matchup, I can win even if I'm like a life down or something, is my belief with Sheik. And so that's why I would play for second in order to get to first, is how that phrasing went. And then it just kind of spun out into, well, you only care about second. And that's not quite the same. I'm going to give Sheik the nod, though.
Okay. All right. Next up, we've got 12th seed Solid Snake versus 4th seed Link.
I mean, I love Link. Both of these are not Spike characters. These are Harvey Z originals in a way. But Link is... is he top... I've forgotten already who's top three in the sense of Ice Climbers, Sheik, and like Link should be the number three guy. But like, I think someone else is, and he's... So he's got something to prove. I'm going to give it to Link.
Give it to Link. All right. Next up, we've got 6th seed Sonic versus 3rd seed, who apparently doesn't deserve it, Senator Dorf.
No! I forgot about you, Senator. Once again. Oh, I do love... This is tough. If I want to win a match, I'm going to pick like Link or Sheik. If I want to just have fun and just enjoy the game, Ganondorf and Ice Climbers are the way to go. Because... Ganondorf is there to have a good time. That's it. Sonic is his nemesis, and basically the speed just kills Ganondorf. But I'm going to give it to Ganondorf. He gets the big boot here, and he wins.
All right. Ganondorf moves on. And last matchup, we've got 7th seed Fox versus 2nd seed Ice Climbers.
A matchup, this is basically like classic Harvey Z versus Generic Johnson, and Harvey Z gets killed almost every time, but this is my bracket, damn it. The Ice Climbers move on.
Ice Climbers move on. Well,
Fox is a Spike character, so yeah.
This is the first time out of all four brackets where I called it correctly, and the top four seeds are in the Sweet 16. It's a one versus first seed versus fourth seed and second seed versus third seed.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. This is
no upsets so far. We've got the top four have made it. And surprisingly, like, this is surprising to me, but three out of your top four Smash characters just happen to also be Legend of Zelda characters.
Yep. And back when I started, did not have... Again, the first Zelda game I really played... Well, Breath of the Wild was the second one. The first one was the one on the Wii.
Yeah, the Twilight Princess?
Yeah, Twilight Princess was the very first time I played a Zelda game.
Huh.
Like, I've seen the Link games and stuff on Nintendo, but it just never appealed to me, the top-down and the puzzly sort of... It was just too hard, Nintendo hard.
Gotcha. All right. First matchup of this Sweet 16, we've got 1st seed Sheik versus 4th seed Link.
These are like two of my original characters. Like, even like Ganondorf the Senator came later in the year because I had to have gotten pissed off at the Senator eventually. But like Link was pre-Melee, and like Sheik was the first character I really enjoyed picking up in Melee. I'm just getting weirdly nostalgic now about like college Smash, but I'm going to because they're two different play styles completely as well. One is just brutal, efficient speed and like lightning kicks out of the blue is how I play Sheik. And Link, I kind of savor the fight, the Beast Slayer, the hubris. This is true Harvey Z. Like, he's not just there to win. He's there to like shame you. He's there to give you the spike. He's there to do the tornado, all of that. But Sheik wins. She's unstoppable.
Sheik wins. All right. And then the other matchup, we've got 3rd seed Senator versus 2nd seed Ice Climbers.
And again, the brackets make sense. The first and the fourth are basically the two characters I would use to, if I'm trying to beat you. And then these two are the ones if I'm trying to have a good time and embarrass you, kind of thing. These are the weirdos, the gimmicks trying to beat you. The Senator, though, man. I got to give it to the Senator. Oh,
there you go. Senator upset.
He does. I love this. As much as the Ice Climbers are enjoyable, they're very difficult to play. The Senator is just sheer fun. You've got like three power moves and you just spam the crap out of it over and over.
All right. Well, in a matchup that every Legend of Zelda fan has been asking Nintendo for since, like, Legend of Zelda was a thing, we've got first seed Sheik versus third seed Ganondorf.
Has this never happened in the video games?
No, you never play as Zelda. You always play as Link. Like, everyone's always wanted a Zelda-based, Sheik-based game.
Really? And, There's never been a Sheik game? Or you can't be Sheik? I mean, I've seen her
in
the...
No,
no. Oh, did not know
I mean, so I think in Hyrule Warriors, the...
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
So spin-off, you could play as Sheik, but, like, not in, like, a mainline game.
And, I mean, everybody looking at this would pick Sheik, because Sheik... in this matchup, if I ran this me versus me, I'm going to beat myself with Sheik. Like, Sheik is going to beat Ganondorf, like, 10 out of 10 times.
We don't need to hear you talking about beating yourself, okay? It's just...
Beating my Ganondorf?
Yeah, yeah. Beating Ganondorf, oh no.
Just smacking around my senator. let's see. I mean... Like, it seems so obvious, and because it seems so obvious, there's a spiteful part of me, and spite is what the senator thrives on.
What is Smash Brothers without spite, right?
Like, it's just, Ganondorf never gets his time to shine, and like, wouldn't it be ironic that he just makes it all the way to the end, and everybody's given up on him, and just, it's of course it's Sheik, she's incredible, she's amazing, and all it takes, again, is that one lucky blow. Fuck it. Let's give it to the senator. He's not going to win the whole thing, but Ganondorf gets his one time to shine. The upset.
All right. So the final entry, final four entry is the senator, Ganondorf.
And he knows he didn't deserve it, but he got lucky. And it's pure spite now willing him on.
All right. So we have done 16 times 4. So we've done a full 64 bracket. And now we are going to do the final four to finish off this episode's podcast. We're going to get the four Harvey Z voted of the previous matchups. And we're going to see which one wins it all, because they're very different things. We've got video games, board games, video game movies, and Smash Brothers characters. Very, very different concepts.
Yeah.
But all gaming related.
And I'm kind of puzzled because if I'm remembering back now to the video game one, the one that I thought would have won, I don't think is the one, and I don't remember. Was XCOM on that list?
No, because I was only including games that weren't XCOM.
Okay.
ToeJam and
Earl. I was about to say. Like, those, I was like, why is that not my best video game thing? But it's too
because,
obvious.
Like, I picked stuff that, like, was related to the podcast, but also wasn't, like, the obvious choices that would immediately.
Because right now, I'll say it, like, XCOM should have won this whole bracket thing.
It's not fun if we know what's going to win.
Fair enough. Like, Ganondorf, the Cinderella story. Yeah. Why is he even here?
Okay, so the first matchup of the Final Four, and the first one of these two will go on to the Grand Finals and be in the running for the true King Harvey Z trophy. I don't know what you want to call it. We've got first seed of the video game bracket, Civilization VI.
Great game.
Versus second seed of the video game movie bracket, Doom.
Ooh. It's also interesting, you're going one and two facing each other. I'm going to say Civilization VI beats... I love Doom. Doom is great, but, I mean, it's a good video game movie. It'll always be qualified by video game movie. It's not the best movie. Civilization VI is up there as a contender for, like, top five video games ever. All-time kind of stuff. Like, it's a great... I've spent 200-plus hours on just this version of the game. Civ 6.
All right. Civ 6 is into the finals. Now, the second matchup. We've got 15th seed, the Cinderella story of the tournament.
15.
Of the board games, Innovation.
Ooh.
Versus third seed of the Smash Brothers characters, Senator Dorf.
That's Ganondorf. Yes, Senator Dorf. Wow, I'd forgotten. Innovation made it as the 15th. I was thinking Catan would be the one or something like that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, Catan, you upset Catan with Innovation. That was your choice.
Because I'm just like, now I'm thinking about it. Of like, if it was Catan, I'd be like, oh, man. Senator Dorf, I mean, I love him, but he's a one-trick pony. He's a gag. And like, Catan is up there for like best of all time. But Innovation kind of snuck by. And the senator does not approve of Innovation. The senator moves on out of spite. Once again, I didn't think this guy, he shouldn't have been here. He shouldn't have made it this far, but he's going to keep on walking.
The 15th seed Cinderella story ends in the final four. You hate to see it, folks, but sometimes that's just the way it works out. Ooh. All right, we've got the grand finals. We've got Civ 6. Representing video games as a whole versus Senator Ganondorf, who is representing a spite.
Game. Spite. At this point, like, pure spite. In my mind, I was like, if it's Catan, Catan beats Ganondorf. And Catan would probably beat Civ 6. And then I was like, XCOM would beat all of those things. But, like, I was not expecting the finals to be Ganondorf versus Civ 6. And the best of all time, it should be Civ 6. It should be. But once again, there's a part of me that's like, we've spent like almost a month on this, folks. Like, we've gone through 64 things. And
to be clear, this was supposed to be like a segment of the podcast. Like, yeah. The first one we did, the video game one, was what I intended it to be. Like a 20 minutes of the podcast, and then we talk about regular other normal podcast stuff. This is now three episodes in a row where the tournament has taken up basically the entire podcast, and it's all we've talked about. And like, it's been entertaining, it's been fun, don't get me wrong, but this is the culmination of basically four full episodes of podcast material and Harvey Z being Harvey Z. We've got a video game which he's admitted he has spent over 200 hours in and ranks as one of the top five games of all time. And then we've got Ganondorf from Smash Brothers.
Just here for spite. Like, why is he even here? What the fuck is he doing? The video game movie or the video game, like, board game? The board game itself? Any of those, it would make sense. Oh, game versus game. Who's the best or something? But Ganondorf has just showed up, ladies and gentlemen, and he's on a tear. Because if this is the Harvey Z Awards, what is better to me as like Harvey Z than just all this time wasted? And what wins? Fucking spite. Ganondorf wins. Fatality.
You know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. Honestly, this is the best way for this to end.
I'm not going to give you, oh yeah, the best video game of all. No, fuck that shit. Imagine the giant boot of Ganondorf kicking through this. Ganondorf wins. Darkness falls on the land. As I said, this bracket actually was really enlightening for me as a Smash. It taught me my core values, which is embarrassing somebody with a ridiculous character and spite. And that is Ganondorf. Kicking this whole bracket to shit and winning the whole thing. Any given Sunday. Any given podcast. Any given bracket. Ganondorf wins.
This is amazing. This is the best finale for this I could have hoped for. You know, I am so glad that I didn't go with my original option. I think that'll be much better for its own thing. This entire chain just absolute perfection. Yeah.
I'm just like, this is the dumbest thing ever in my mind. And it's like, no, I shouldn't have done this. But then the Harvey Z part of me is like, do it. This is awesome. Yeah.
Just like the Kermit Frog, just the dark side. Do it. Do it.
The Senator wins. And all of this I fucking hated my English professor. That's basically it. This is all just, fuck you, English professor. Yeah. semicolon. Because of him, every paper I write, I include a fucking semicolon in it. I've been published many a times since then. They all had fucking semicolons in it.
And I think the best part is you're going to go back and listen to these episodes in like a year or whatever when you're doing your like run through of old episodes. And you're like, what the hell won this? Oh my God, I made the senator win? What the fuck?
And then I'm going to get to that rant and I'm going to be like, yeah, fuck that professor. That's, I will be like 80 and listening back to these on some old media thing and I'll still be like, fuck that professor from intern or freshman or whatever first year of college. Fuck that guy. One of my first college courses, wide-eyed, like Harvey Z, ready to go with his new friends and everybody from his hall, ready to go to class. And he fucking gets a fucking, like, C+. Why? A fucking semicolon? That professor shat on the dreams of Harvey Z. I could have been, I don't know, an English major and done something English majors do. A writer, maybe that. I would have written.
You would have been like me and had a job completely unrelated to your field.
Yeah. Maybe that professor saved me. I became corporate Harvey Z because of that. I guess I'll just cry with my money.
All right. Well, you know what? Yeah, that's worth it, I'd say. Yeah, you're... This bracket has been enlightening on the preferences of Harvey Z and what he thinks should move on and how sometimes he went with other things just purely out of spite, and spite wins the day here. It fits.
I mean, yeah, I'm trying to, like, the message was basically, yeah, I could have been an English professor one day, like, shitting on future, like, college students' dreams and being like, fuck you, needs more semicolons. But no, that professor set me straight. I got into video games. I met some really good friends. And then I became a corporate sellout, made tons of money. And now I've come back, thanks to my friends, with getting back into video games and everything. But yeah, maybe I should thank that professor. Money, money, money.
All right. Well, on that note, we're wrapping up the bracket. We're wrapping up this podcast. Next week, we've got... This is what, 97, 98? One of those two. We're getting close to 100. We'll have an episode of two of your regular scheduled Make Me a Gamer content. And then we're going to have our 100th episode blowout, which I'm sure will be a fun time for all of us.
Huh. I mean, we didn't think we'd make it this far. So, yeah.
Listen, speak for yourself, asshole.
Did you
I didn't start this to give up on it. Come on. There's 100 episodes is a milestone, and you don't go into something like this thinking you're going to fail, because if you do, you fail. We may not have thousands of listeners. We may not even have hundreds of listeners. We may not even have tens of listeners. But you know what we do have? We have each other. And as long as we keep talking to each other through microphones about video games and hating on our old English professors, like, we'll keep making podcast episodes, and I think that's the way it should be.
Amen.
Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
They can find me on Twitter at MakeMeAHarveyZ.
You can find me on Twitmer. I almost just said Twitmer. Why that?
Twitter plus what? What were you
going? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You can find me on Twitter at Atma. That's what it was. I started saying my name before I finished saying Twitter. That's what happened.
That is your name. you just said your name. Like, okay.
You can find me on Twitter at Atma_Phoenix. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com, especially if you have reactions to this particular bracket. You can find my writings at atmasweapon.com, and you can join our Discord in the link below. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this bracket nonsense as much as I enjoyed making it and hearing Harvey Z's opinions. Harvey Z, take us out.
Good times. I mean, I genuinely didn't plan for that. I wasn't thinking of having like a spiteful ending, but I guess that's the takeaway from all of this is don't give up on your spite. Just let it fuel you to like drive your passions. Spite and embarrassing your foes under your feet. That's the key to life.